This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, there's one thing that we've learned in the last week or two since Donna Adelson has been convicted. You're really wondering what's going to happen to Wendy next. That seems to be the big question that a lot of people are asking. And, you know, obviously, we don't know the answer to that. Wendy is innocent as of right now. She's never been charged with anything. But when we look back at the testimony that she gave in mom's trial, and we look back at the testimony that her ex-boyfriend, Jeff Lacoste, gave at this last trial, certainly eyebrows are raised. And then you remember, oh, there was other trials. There was Charlie's trial. There was the Sigfrido Garcia McBona trial. And then there was, of course, also police interviews and such with these specific characters. Interviews that took place all the way back in 2013, 2014, 2015, on the stand testimony that took place in those years, more than a decade ago. And I don't know about you, but I don't remember a whole lot from 10 years ago in super detail. Maybe some pieces, maybe not exactly court testimony. So I think might be time that we take a look back. We take a look back at all those little nuggets of testimony, all those little pieces, and start trying to put more pieces together and go, oh, I forgot about that. That's what we're going to be doing a lot of this week, as we're going to go through court testimony from Jeff Lacoste, so Wendy's former boyfriend, all the way back in 20, I think, what is our first one here? This is 2014, 2015, I believe, the Sigfrido Garcia trial. And then we're going to look at his testimony in the Charlie trial as well. And there's a lot that's revealed here. This is not an ex, I think Wendy is real happy with having. What about you guys?
I was waiting for a little pause here, Tony, because yeah. What I want to ask is, think back to some of your exes, okay? And think of what they might say if you need to call them up to the stand to, you know, talk about your life, a little snapshot of your life. Mm-hmm. How's that going to go for you?
I don't, probably fairly boring, quite honestly. You know, I don't really have a lot. And then he worked on a ghost podcast, and then I don't know. I don't really have that. I'm happy with that. I don't have a lot of weird, I don't really have anything that one's going to talk about my family planning a murder. I don't have any weird sexual shit. I don't have any weird this or that. I got nothing.
but I think the interesting thing would be, what's their view of it? Because that's your view
of you, and especially how you broke up.
Yeah,
right. I mean,
are they pissed at you and they've got a little vendetta and they're just going to reveal every horrible thing that you ever did?
If they're going to be mad that I have kitten wallpaper all over the bedroom, that I like to sometimes dress as a wallaby, and I like to wear claws of a honey badger when I go to bed, but that's just to get me to go to sleep. That's my sleeping routine. That's
and
what I do.
We all have one.
And I don't do anything while I'm wearing the honey badger gloves or the wallaby costume with the kitten wallpaper, while I'm drinking warm goat milk from a backpack, which I wear throughout the evening, which provides me with a straw that allows me to sip the milk from a nipple. But that, again, that's how I go to sleep. I take a couple melatonin. I'm like everybody else.
But again, can you?
I got nothing. I have nothing to give to this conversation.
Can anybody beat that?
I'm out.
No, but I'm just sitting back going, how far is this going to go? It went pretty far.
I sat back. I'm like,
while I'm watching reruns of The Golden Girls.
Well, who doesn't do that? It's on
in reverse. Like in reverse. So like literally the episode plays in reverse. So it's like listening to it's really weird. Thank you for being your friend. The shit that comes out of that song when it's played in reverse. Oh, my God. Paul's not only dead. Paul's a mass murderer. I don't know if you knew about that. But yeah, I mean, Night Stalker. really weird shit.
We might need to take a look into what you're eating for breakfast before we go live.
Or lack thereof.
Or, right, yeah. Maybe you do need to eat before we do this.
I've had a Red Bull. It gave me wings. That's,
oh, God.
Although you can't. We need to clip your wings, like, right now.
Although you can't say that anymore, can you? Like, they had to, like, change the slogan because somebody sued them saying, I believe, I don't know if this is internet lore or meme or whatnot, but because it doesn't truly give you wings,
shut
I think
up.
They had to, this is according to my daughter. So again, could be TikTok lore. I don't know the answer to it. But
we are in the dumbest timeline, I swear to God.
So I looked it up really quickly on our friend Google, and it says, yes, Red Bull changed its slogan because false advertising. And that happened in 2014, folks.
Wow. So this is back.
Imagination, people.
See, and this is what should have truly happened with the person who brought that lawsuit. They should. So you're suing Red Bull because you didn't grow wings. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
My service revolver's right here. And you just like.
Yeah.
World's a better place without you in it now.
It's time for you to get out of the pool.
I agree. I don't know how we got to that, but we got there.
Well, there was nipples involved and badger claws and all sorts of that kind of stuff.
I just asked a really innocuous question about would you want your ex on the stand talking about your life?
Oh, I answered it then.
So then basically the answer is really no when you think about it.
Yeah, it really
I'm
is.
Okay. I mean, I just revealed I got ahead of the game right now. There you go. I just got ahead of the game. Everybody knows. All of my secrets, all of them.
I bet we don't.
Thank God.
I also have sheets. My bed sheets are that of Today's Special, which was a television program for children in the 80s on Canadian television. It was of a mannequin whose hat came off. Or when his hat came off, he was frozen. But when he had his hat on, he came to life in the middle of the store.
Well, so Today's Special, right?
I was going to say everyone. This. A little bit like Frosty the Snowman when you think about it.
Yeah, but it was a Canadian children's television show set in a department store in 1985. It's a little different.
God, who knows this stuff?
It's different, isn't it? It's different.
It was different. That was brought up this weekend. Me and my girlfriend were talking about childhood shows. And she's like, remember that one that you talked like, yeah, she's like, it was like a fever dream. I kind of remember it, too. Like, yeah, it was. It was a very weird show. So obviously, yeah, I got none of that. There wouldn't be a whole lot of, it would be boring. It really would be. I don't know what, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know.
I think I've probably have an ex that would, I'd end up in prison. Just, I'd be like, you know what? Don't put him on the stand. I'll just, here, cuff me. Let's
There'd
go.
There'd be a lot of testimony about cats.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. What do you do?
There would be. Todd?
I kind of did the same thing you did, Tony, which was, oh, I'm not that bad. I still get along with everybody. You know, everything seems fine. But then it's like, well, do I really want to know what they really think of me? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably not, I think, is the answer.
Yeah.
Most of us would have. But it's because we have our own thoughts. But clearly the Adelsons are not very good at understanding what people think of them when they're right in front of them, when they're like interacting with them on a regular basis. And that's the problem with narcissism is there is no. It's like your glasses are off completely and you have really bad vision. So there's not a lot of seeing the obvious in front of you. We're going to start going through some of the testimony here from Jeff Lacoste, and this is from the Sigfrido Garcia, Catherine Magbona, Magbanua, Magmawa, Magma Shisha Shishwa. I've heard everybody say the name differently now, but I'm going to stick with Magbona. I don't know if I'm saying it right or not.
I think that's how they pronounced it.
Magbanua?
Magbanua, I think, might be more tech. I think that's how Georgia is saying Magbanua, but I've heard it every which way. So I'm going to go with Georgia probably being right on this, but I'm probably not going to remember how to say it correctly. So this is from way back when, and we'll just roll it and we'll start discussing and we'll start breaking down the testimony and what it says about Wendy and their relationship and what Jeff knew or didn't know, according to him. Let's take a look.
Sir, please introduce yourself and spell your first and last name.
Yeah, I'm Jeffrey Lacasse, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y. Excuse me. Last name spelled L-A-C-A-S-S-E.
How are you employed, Mr. Lacoste?
I'm employed at Florida State University as an associate professor.
All right. What about back in 2014?
I was an assistant professor at Florida State University.
Okay. And did you have a relationship with Wendy Adelson?
I did.
What type of relationship was that?
We started dating in the fall of 2013. She became my girlfriend around March of 2014.
And when did that relationship end?
July of 2014.
And when the breakup occurred, was there a big argument that occurred that precipitated the breakup?
We had a argument in late June. She went to South Florida for a couple of weeks. And when she came back, we tried to make things work and it didn't really work. She sort of cut off contact.
All right. And during that argument when she went to South Florida, was she in South Florida on July 1st, 2014?
I believe she was. I dropped her off at her house on June 29th, I believe.
Okay. And had during the course of your relationship with Ms. Adelson, did you ever meet her family?
I did.
Who did you meet?
I met her brother. We went to South Florida for alternative spring break, went to Immokalee, and I had dinner with her brother. And I met her mother at her house just very briefly, maybe 10, 15 minutes at dinner. And when I would pick her up and the kids were there with the grandparents, I would have just a couple moments interaction with them. I didn't have a lot of contact.
Okay. And what about Catherine McVanilla? Did you ever have an occasion to meet her?
Yeah, I went to dinner with her. I believe it was on March 11th when we went over there to meet Charlie.
Okay. So who was present at that meal on March 11th? And that's 2014?
That's correct. It was myself, Wendy Adelson, Charlie, and Katie.
Charles Adelson and Catherine McVanilla.
Thank you.
What about Sigfredo Garcia? Did you ever have an occasion to meet him?
I did not. I never met him.
Was Ms. Adelson very close to her parents and her brother, Charlie?
Extremely close.
I want to ask you about June 4th, 2014. Do you recall an event that occurred that day that was unusual?
Yeah, I remember a couple of unusual occurrences on June 4th.
Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, I had met Ms. Adelson at the Red Eye Coffee Shop in Midtown for a coffee about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We were going to talk about our relationship a little bit. And she canceled a trip we had planned to California to visit my parents, which was scheduled for July 11th to 17th.
All right. And was she acting strangely that night?
Yeah, that night, she was a nervous wreck to the point, I couldn't put my finger on why at the time, to the point where she lived kind of way up Centerville and there was no convenience stores or anything close. And I actually took about 35 minutes and drove to a convenience store to get her Pepto-Bismol because she was such a nervous wreck and had a real nervous stomach that evening.
Okay. And did she ever tell you what the problem was?
No, she's very nonspecific about it.
Were you aware during the course of your relationship with Ms. Adelson about her efforts to relocate to South Florida with the children?
I certainly was.
All right. And was she... Were you in her life when she learned that the court was not going to permit her to take the children to
South Florida? No, our first date was September 27th, 2013. So that was a topic of conversation on our first couple of dates, but it was in the past when we discussed it.
All right. And was Ms. Adelson happy about the fact that she was not able to relocate?
No, she was quite bitter about it, actually. It was, as I said, a topic that came up. That tone came up on those first two dates.
All right. Did she make any statements to you in reference to her brother considering options to take care of this problem with her not being able to relocate?
Yes, she did. Okay.
All right, Mr. Lacoste, when we broke, we were talking about statements made to you by Wendy Adelson about her brother considering options to take care of her relocation problem. What, if any, statements did she tell you to that effect?
Yes, ma'am. On July 13th, 2014, Wendy and I were speaking, and she asked me if she could share something with me confidentially. I told her, sure. She mentioned, or she said, that Charlie had explored all options to take care of the problem, and that he had looked into having Professor Markell killed. It would cost about $15,000. I later... talked to investigator Eisenman and said that could have been $50,000. They sound awful alike.
Okay, so you're not sure if she said 15 or 50.
That's right, but I'm confident she made that statement. I just can't remember the exact dollar amount. And she did state that was during the relocation battle the previous summer is when that had taken place.
All right. And the day that she made the statement to you was July 13th of 2014.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's pause there
Did
for a second.
Mrs. Adelson.
So July 13th, she's talking about all options that Charlie is bringing to the table. And that discussion apparently took place the previous summer, if I'm understanding correctly, when they were trying to get the living situation figured out of would he move, would he not move before they went to such extremes, or at least before Charlie and Donna went to such extremes. What are your thoughts on all this, on everything we've learned thus far? We have Wendy being uncontrollably anxious, but not telling anyone what's wrong, just making Jeff go and drive 35 miles, or he does it out of his own will to get her Pepto-Bismol. Thoughts?
Stacey, I think you're muted.
I'm muted, sorry. I grew up in a really... family that reminds me a lot of the Adelsons, not without the murder, just a lot of manipulation and domineering, grandmother and things like that. I know that nervous stomach. As a child, I ate Pepto-Bismol when the tablets first came out. It was a big deal. Like, I remember when they came out, but I was drinking that stuff as a child, like Kool-Aid. I know that nervous stomach. I know that very well. And to me, that's a sign. That is a sign you know some shit's going down. Your body is reacting. You know, your brain can tell you one thing, but your body is like, oh, honey, there's some stuff happening here. She knew. She knew all of it.
What's interesting to me about it is that she's this age. She's in her mid-30s at this point in time. And... this is the family she grew up with. I'm honestly a little bit surprised she's not more used to it now by now. But although we are talking about murder, and this is something that goes beyond probably the pale of what the length of where Donna and Charlie and their let's solve the problem attitude has ever gone in the past. And I'm going to guess she sat there knowing, well, they do tend to follow through on whatever they've done in the past, non-murderous activities, and the way as to which the callous way as to which this has been discussed amongst that family and brought about and then even joked about leading up to and after the fact. I'm going to guess Wendy, if she didn't know it was going to happen, knew it was going to happen just because she knew her family. That doesn't mean that she knew the time, the date, the place, that she ordered it or anything like that, but she knew if it was in their mind and they had the possibility of doing it, the likelihood of it happening could very well take place. Although I do think there's a lot of evidence pointing to that she knew the time or the date of that it would be taking place.
Well, and Jennifer just brought up a comment that they obviously knew that they were untouchable if they had this conversation in front of a boyfriend, especially a new boyfriend. This isn't somebody who's been in the family and knows... these people are just nuts. That's how they talk. No, that you don't know.
Yeah.
In a new relationship. Holy crap.
And also, like, if you're Jeffrey, then you're in a new relationship and the person you're seeing says, hey, can I talk to you confidentially about something?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what they say to you. Don't you get the hell away from that as fast as possible?
Get the fuck out. Get out.
I mean, I'm the kind of person, if I'm having dinner with somebody and they've got stuff in their teeth and they're not self-aware of what that might. I mean, that's pretty much it for me. I'm like, bye. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
If they bring up murder for hire, I'm gone.
No. Hold up. There's what? Something we got to talk about here, Todd. So if we're sitting here and I've got broccoli in my teeth because I had broccoli because I'm trying to be healthy, you're not going to tell me that I have a big old green thing sitting in my teeth?
I will tell you after the broadcast.
And you'll have to look for a new job.
No, I'll tell you after the broadcast, only so I have video proof and something to mess around with.
Oh, my God.
I'm just telling you.
Wow, you guys.
That's why you look in the mirror. That's why or just look into, like, although I can't see myself when I'm looking directly in the camera. I have to look off to see myself in the camera. But yeah, I mean, that's part of the fun. It's just, you know,
I'm Tony Broccoli
before the show.
Yeah, I'm also overacting a little bit on that, but because to think somebody would say, well, you know, my brother looked into the options and it would cost us $15,000 to $50,000. Run like fucking hell.
The fact that you're getting quotes, like, that's not an Angie's List. That's right. Not like a right. Like, oh, there's let no me just let me go throw that out there. Like, you're getting insurance quotes on something, and then you get 40 calls from different agencies going, we can insure your pet rhinoceros for this, which that's expensive shit. I'll tell you what. Don't ever get one as a pet.
Yeah.
But the fact that he had like numbers. Yeah. Well, and what's interesting about it is that she just talked about it like it was nothing. It's because it felt so normal to her. It felt so normal to this family, and they're so insulated that they don't get that this is not how other families talk about things, or at least not a lot of them. And it is always interesting when you get into a relationship with somebody, whether it be a romantic relationship, whether it be a friend relationship, whatever it may be, and you start to get to know their friends, their family, more specifically. And if you start, you know, you hang out at their home, you have those interactions, you know, with the family and things like that. You start to see, they do things a little differently over here. And we all do to a certain extent. There's certain things, I think, that we grow up and we become adults and go, oh, they only did that in our house. Like, that's interesting. I thought everybody did that. And a lot of times it's benign things. It's like, well, they buy Kleenex tissues and we use toilet paper or things like that. It's not, we openly discuss, you know, offing our exes. But this seemed to be the normal course of conversation for them.
Tons of comments from our viewers today. And one of the things that was said by a couple of people is like, what are we waiting for? Let's just arrest her for God's sakes.
I'll go back to that. Go ahead.
I get that. But I think they're really building the case. I'm a very impatient person. I want this done right now. But I think they're really building it. And they needed those first people to get convicted. And it just is stacking and stacking. And I think it's going to pop up. We're going to get a news alert at some point, you know, some afternoon that, okay, here we go. The wheels are in motion now.
Do you think they've got enough already?
You'd to think, at least arrest maybe there's her? More. What if there's more out there?
She gets to live a free life while, you know.
But does she?
I mean, I realize she's probably eating a lot of Pepto-Bismol at this point. I get that. Yes,
she ordered it from Costco, man. It came in a case.
Jennifer says, same with Harvey. I think they're building a case against him, too.
Yeah. Yeah. How did he not know any of this?
I mean, I did a little breakdown of this the other day. I was just trying to find it, but I'm just going to have it regenerate it. Of what evidence exists to charge Wendy Adelson, and there is a lot. I mean, there's a lot. The statements and behavior. You have the hitman as a divorce gift comment. You got the suspicious post murder actions. Wendy went to the inconsistencies with interviews. You got the testimony of Jeffrey Lacoste about the money. There is a direct link missing. There isn't any forensic evidence, no wiretap with her arranging payment, no money trailed to her, at least that we're aware of as of right now.
And
you would think if that existed, it would be out there. If it exists, Georgia probably has it. And they may be holding back. Charlie and Donna are convicted. Prosecutors may be waiting until they feel they have a watertight case before charging Wendy. And that's true. You don't want to bring it if it's too soon, because if you spook them, I mean, there's a lot of other problems that could go on here. Wendy, of course, maintains her innocence, that she had nothing to do with Dan's murder and has cooperated with interviews. I think we want to fill the peg into that hole, but I don't know if it fits. I think at the end of the day, and that's what they may be waiting on, or they may just be waiting and let everybody take a breather, including their own team, which Georgia did seem to hint to the other day before she said, stay tuned. That's got to be hell, being Wendy Adelson right now.
She's being punished right now. I mean, for those of you who are going, well, she needs to be in prison. Yeah, but she is in prison right now. She is in a mental prison. That woman, every time she wakes up and the alarm goes off and she takes that breath like, oh, shit, this is my life. Yeah. Mm.
And somebody mentioned, but what about the kids? I know they're teenagers now, but again, you know, she's still in charge of their life. They're still living with this. Right. And somebody just said they know that their uncle and grandmother killed their father, you know, and is their mother involved? Can you imagine what that's like sitting back going, I wonder if mom was involved?
Yeah.
They probably don't talk about any of this at home, is my guess.
Of course not, right?
Like, it's one of those things, just like all healthy narcissistic families, healthy, I put in air quotes, narcissistic families, you don't talk about the problems. You don't talk about.
Is there a hierarchy in those narcissistic families where, like, oh, this is a really healthy narcissistic family?
I think healthy is the wrong word, but healthy in terms of, like, extreme. And healthy, meaning how strong is your ability to play along with delusional behavior? And I guess the stronger you are, the more apt you are to be able to go along with it. And a test of strength for a narcissistic family would be the amount of people that are still there, that haven't defected, that haven't gone off and said, I can go live a happier, better life outside of this. So you have at least one down here, you know, the one brother who went away that said, I'm good. But for the most part, this was a pretty strong family. I wouldn't say it is anymore, but then that leaves these people in chaos too. And if Wendy literally had nothing to do with this and was just so aloof, and I don't know that that's the answer or not. If she had nothing to do with this, I feel horrible for her that she has to sit there and live with this every day of the actions of her family and the torture that is going on, of which she did not choose. Now, she may have chosen to stick around and be a participant and get some of the ancillary benefits of having this enmeshed narcissistic family, which I think she did. And I mean, that's pretty easy to see. She was a big part of it. She didn't run away. So she was there. She was benefiting from the deeds of the family, whether it had anything to do with the murder or not, both ways she was. And at some point you're a grown up and you have to say, this is healthy or this is unhealthy. You can compare enough of the real world out there and go and say, my family is different. We have agency. We can do those sort of things. And if you choose to stick around, well, I mean, I guess the consequence, it's the company you keep sometimes. And if they go to such extremes, maybe you should have walked away sooner.
Well, that's on you. If you chose to stay in that environment, you see what they're like, you see what they're about, and you do nothing about it, that's on you.
If I'm finding out that my family is trying to put a hit out on my ex, and there still is a functional relationship there with the children, as there was, and there was, you know, they were getting along with the kids, and there was nothing horrible going on there, and they're trying to do this beat like outside of my purview, my brother is saying this or something, I'd be warning my ex. I'd be like, my family is saying this shit, you need to be aware of this shit, I'm not talking to them anymore. I think you'd be doing everything you can to cover your ass, because if you're not seeing how that's going to turn around on you at some point in time, then I'm sorry, you're just a fucking idiot.
Kind of sums it up.
You are. I mean, you are an idiot. If your family is doing this and you're doing nothing about it, you're just like, oh my God, I gotta go get me more Pepto-Bismol. I'm so nervous. Like, okay. I mean, you can choose to sit here and worry and cry and freak the fuck out and then pretend you're a victim. Or maybe you are a victim in some sort of weird way, but you got yourself, you are choosing to participate. You are choosing to surround yourself with this toxic group of people who are flat out telling you what they're thinking of doing or considering as possibilities. I'm sorry, all the tears in the world don't forgive you of not letting your ex know about this, or you know, attempting to do something about this.
Though, Tony,
I don't care what you're afraid of at that point.
Yeah, can I throw something out there? Because it just came to mind. What about Jeff? What you know, he had all this information. Maybe he should have opened his mouth a little bit. I mean, we look at him and we go, here's a guy that has, seems to have his head on his shoulders. Sure. Not sure why he still wants to be around Wendy. Why would, you know, knowing that they're trying to off her ex-husband, why would you want to stick around? So there's questions about that. But, I he had quite a bit of information. He could have said, you know what? I need to tell somebody about this.
You're right. I agree with that, too. I do. I think I think Jeff revealed in almost every one of his testimonies, and he probably will here too, the reason why he stayed is because he thought she was hot. That's the stupid. It's not a valid reason.
No, but that's the power of the hot woman gets the man every time.
But that does seem to be like, oh, your family's plotting murder. You got nice boobs.
It's the power of the boobs. I have been speaking of this for years, for decades. A woman with a great rack can own the world. Prove me wrong.
I mean, that's I think the reason that Jeff pretty much is, I'm not going to speculate. Jeff has told us this is why he stuck around. I don't think there's really any other story to this other than Jeff was not thinking with his brain when it came to that. He seems like a very smart guy. But when it came to Wendy and the opportunity for him to have sex with Wendy, he was taking that over everything else.
Jennifer had a great comment. She said, I'd probably be scared to death that they'd knock me off if I said something. Very good point. But then somebody else said he wasn't thinking with the right head. And that's also a good point.
That's true. Let's watch more of what's going on here.
Then tell you anything about the celebration dinner, anything about a celebration dinner.
Yes.
Could you tell us about that, please?
Yes. A couple weeks after Professor Markell was murdered, we spoke on the phone, and she had mentioned that her and Charlie had gone to, these are her words, she said, Charlie and I went to what he described as a celebration dinner.
And that was the dinner where she vomited?
That's right. That's correct.
And are you aware, Mr. Lacoste, that Ms. Adelson suggested you as a possible suspect in this homicide?
Yes, I am.
And where were you when Dan Markell was murdered?
I was on the road to Tennessee. I originally had a trip planned for 11 a.m. on Friday the 18th. And I had, at the last moment, changed my trip to Thursday night. So
you left early?
I left early without telling anyone other than the people at the destination. Miss Adelson was the only person I had told in Tallahassee about the time that I was leaving, which was 11 a.m. on the 18th. I had informed her about that in around June 10th.
All right. So originally it was going to be July 18th at 11 a.m. would be your departure?
Yes, ma'am.
And would you be flying or driving?
I was driving.
All right. And it changed to Thursday night. So you left the night before and were in Tennessee at the time of the homicide?
That's correct.
No further questions.
Cool.
Still morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
Announce your last name for me again.
Lacoste. Okay. Just want to make sure I got it right.
Mr. Lacoste. So Wendy Adelson knew you were leaving. You told her you were leaving Friday morning.
Friday morning at 11, we had discussed it because we had some plans that got canceled. So we had discussed it in some detail, actually.
And your plan was to leave Tallahassee and to drive north, and I guess northbound?
Thomasville Road, north eastbound, yes, sir.
Sure. Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. So your plan was to travel north of Tallahassee to Tennessee, correct?
That's correct.
And you told Wendy that, hey, listen, I'm going on this trip, and I'm leaving Friday morning around 11 a.m., correct?
That's correct.
And do you recall what time the actual shooting took place?
I believe it was right around 11 a.m.
The same exact time that you'd be leaving the area?
Correct? That's correct.
And although it was for a business trip, if people didn't know what your plans were, would you agree with me that it may look like you're leaving the scene if you're traveling outside of the jurisdiction?
That's what I was concerned about, that if I had taken my trip at the scheduled time, I would have looked like I was fleeing because I would have been driving. I would have taken Capitol Circle to Thomasville and been very close to Professor Markell's house.
And when did you find out that Ms. Adelson, Wendy Adelson, had suggested that you may be involved in this?
I suspected it from the police interrogations, but they didn't explicitly say that. eventually I was able to view her interrogation video.
And by her, you mean Wendy Edelson?
Sir.
And by interrogation video, you mean interview, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because as you're aware, she has not been charged in this case, correct?
I'm aware of that, yes, sir.
And obviously you haven't either.
Right.
Correct. You've been cleared by law enforcement?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, let's talk about your relationship with Wendy Edelson. You started dating her. Give me a time period.
September 27th, 2013 was our first date.
And how long would you say that your relationship with her lasted?
Well, there was different phases of it. In that fall semester, we weren't exclusive. It was more casual. It became more serious late February, early March. So as far as a serious, I'm your boyfriend, you're my girlfriend sort of thing, just March through July.
Okay. So you started casually dating in September of 2013, and it got more serious at the beginning of 2014, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And how did you meet Miss Edelson? How did you guys first have a date?
Yeah, through mutual friends.
Okay. So it wasn't like on a social media dating app or anything else?
No.
Okay. Were you aware if Miss Edelson was participating in online dating?
I think I knew that, well, I knew that she had dated online in the past. I did not know the time frame.
One of your concerns, okay, so once you guys became exclusive, and by exclusive, I mean you called her your girlfriend and she called you her boyfriend, is that fair?
That's correct, and I was involved with the kids at that point and things like that.
And it got to the point where she introduced you to her family, right?
That's right.
And you indicated that there was a dinner where you met Charlie Edelson?
That's right.
Kind of a good-looking guy, right?
Sure.
Right. Works out.
Weird question.
Fuck. When you went on, when you had your double date, where it was you, Wendy Edelson, Charlie, and Miss Magmanor,
did
you see what kind of car Mr. Edelson pulled in?
I don't recall seeing his car in the parking lot. We then went to his house, so I saw his garage and got a look at some of the vehicles he owned, but not that at dinner.
What kind of vehicles does he have?
Ferrari is the one that stood out to me.
Do you remember the color of the Ferrari?
I don't.
Did you make any comments to Wendy about the Ferrari?
Well, Wendy used to talk about Charlie having a Ferrari.
How do you not remember the color?
She would say, my brother's a character. He has a Ferrari. He has an undercover cop car. He has, I think, a nice Benz in addition or some luxury.
So she knew what a Ferrari was, right?
Sure. Well, sure.
So it's not like she didn't say he's got a Porsche and you saw a Ferrari, right?
No, it was Ferrari. I actually remember discussing the cost of maintenance with Charlie. There were some downsides to having a Ferrari.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You think?
That's tough. Tough. So.
Good looking guy.
Pretty extensive.
Got a Ferrari.
Car collection, right?
Yeah, multiple cars. Yeah. I don't know exactly how many.
And did you learn what he did for a living?
Yeah, I knew he was a periodontist from Speak With Wendy.
And how many... Was that the only night you had direct contact with Mr. Edelson, Charlie Edelson?
That's the only contact I ever had with him that night.
Did he appear to have, did he appear to be intelligent?
What?
It's a weird question.
Especially
after
asking
difficult
question. I just met him the one night.
I'll withdraw that. Let me ask him a more important question.
Surprised the judge didn't strike
that. Was he drinking that night?
I don't recall if he was drinking. He was holding forth. He was talking a lot. He was confident. That was my impression of him.
He was talking a lot? Did you ever see him go to the bathroom?
I don't recall.
What is
okay, can
going
we stop? We
got to
stop. We got to stop.
Let's stop.
What
sure.
What the hell? I feel
did
violated.
Did it come out yellow or did it come out clear? Because if it came out yellow, he might have been drinking.
Besides that, it's like, you're an attractive guy, right? So did you go to the bathroom with him? You know, big dick?
Did you cross streams?
What is happening here?
Here's my question. What is the attorney trying to prove? Like, is he trying to prove that Jeffrey was... jealous of Charlie? I mean, I don't know. What is he trying to say?
I don't know yet. I've never watched all of this in its entirety, so I'm really curious. I know the vehicles do come into play in some way, shape, or form. Exactly how, we'll have to find out. But I don't know why or what. But even to get to wherever they're going, like, good-looking guy? How? I don't know how the judge didn't say, like,
or nobody objected to that, going like, what does this have to do with any, like, what in any way, shape, or form, what does it have to do? That would be his opinion of his appearance. And, but maybe you're right. Maybe it is going to like a jealousy motive. Maybe they are still trying to point him to be more somewhat involved, because this is the Sigfrido trial. So they are trying to look at that going, but they're not protecting Charlie here. They're not protecting Donna. They're protecting the hitman. So they may still be looking closer at this, or trying to put some doubt in the jury's mind that Sigfrido had anything to do with this. And that maybe it was more the boyfriend. That's my guess. I could be completely wrong. So if you like to eviscerate me in the comments on that, go for it. But I just told you, I don't know for sure yet. So we'll find out.
I like that he works out. I mean, thanks for that tidbit. But again, if you saw a Ferrari, I mean, I don't know how many of you people see Ferraris in people's garages. I can't say I've seen more than one. And I recall it was a red one. How do you not recall the color?
I wouldn't remember.
Really?
I could give a shit about cars. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of like, I mean, for some you'll remember, but there's certain, and it's, I mean, I don't know. And I see like, oh, that looks nice. Cars, the way that some people get so damn excited about, and I get, that's your thing. Cool. Never registered in my radar as anything at all. I mean, there's no more excitement of me seeing a Ferrari than me seeing the Stanley Cup right here. I'm more excited to see the Stanley.
You got a Stanley?
I'm more excited for the Stanley.
I'm sorry. I would know every detail. Everything.
I do think it's weird because Jeffrey does have a very good memory. It's kind of odd that he doesn't remember that.
That's what I thought, because this guy can recall dates and times and things, but he can't recall the color of, you know, a $300,000 car.
But it's not his car. He saw it in passing. I mean, you would remember the dates of when you started, you know, dating Rosemary's Baby. You know, it's, you know, those
sort of.
Oh my God. What did you have for breakfast?
Red Bull. And not even a full can. I started this one yesterday.
Well, then drink the rest of it, because something is off today. Thank you.
Or on, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, I haven't figured that out yet.
But I think that you'd remember those sort of things, not necessarily the car. I mean, I'm that way. I think I'm fairly intelligent. I remember a lot of things, but it is weird what I will absorb. I mean, for example, I remember the kitten wallpaper and wear the honey badger gloves when I go to bed.
Before the Red Bull kicks in.
But I don't remember. I couldn't tell you what I had for dinner 2 days ago. There's a lot of like short term things that I'm not great at anymore. I never really have been though either. Our minds are weird. It's weird how they all work and what registers and what stays for one person really could be completely different for another of looking at the exact. And that's what makes us all different. That's what makes us all so special and unique individuals, Stacey.
I'm so glad we're not in the same studio together.
Why? Would you be throwing something at me?
Yes, I would. You know it.
Let's watch more of Jeff.
Did you ever see him? Was he perspiring more than a normal person would during dinner?
This is 5 years ago. I don't remember. We were outside and it was, you know, not cool at that time of year, but yeah.
Okay, so you're outside in like an open area restaurant?
Yeah, we were at the Yardbird on the patio.
Okay, the Yardbird in South Beach?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a nice place.
Did you witness Charlie Adelson doing cocaine that night?
I did not.
So this is a guy who was in South Beach, right? Drives a Ferrari, right?
Yes.
What, had Wendy previously described him as having a lot of girlfriends?
Sure.
Handsome. I probably could get attention of women.
I would presume so.
And do a lot of coke.
But you're only face-to-face meeting was at dinner, correct?
Well, that dinner, and then we went back to his house and hung out in his hot tub for a little while, but that was it.
Oh, and during that time that you went to his hot to his house to hang up in the hot tub, did you see him ever go to the bathroom, or was he ever outside of your personal space?
Yeah, I think all of us were in and out of that hot tub at various points because we were sitting there a little while.
He peed in the hot tub.
at any point did Charlie Adelson? Now, you're a law professor, correct?
Professor of social work, actually.
Correct. Okay.
Yes, that's what
you're a professor at the university, correct? I apologize, not law professor.
Yeah,
you're an educated person, correct?
Sure.
You'll agree with me that a layperson wouldn't solicit you to commit a murder, correct?
Objection.
How we ask this? Did Charlie Adelson ask you to kill Dan Markell?
Did Charlie ask me?
Did he ask you?
No.
Of course not. And
look at the look on his face.
I apologize. I will try, of course. And you'll agree with me that at no point did you give him any reason to believe that you would be someone that would do such a nefarious act, correct?
No.
Okay. When the prosecutor asked you about June 4th of 2014, you recall that?
Yes, sir.
And you said that you guys were at the Red Eye Coffee Shop, right?
That's correct.
And around what time was that?
I had a hair appointment at 2 or 3, so it was at 1 or 2.
And so in the early afternoon...
Could have been as early as 12:30, sir.
I mean, 12:30.
Yeah.
Okay. So around 12:30 on June 4th, 2014, correct?
That's correct.
You indicated that she was acting, and by she, I mean Wendy Adelson, that she was acting unusual.
That's correct.
Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes.
Did you ask her what was wrong?
I did ask her what was wrong. It was very nonspecific. That happened with Wendy quite a bit, where she was upset and there was not an exact name put to why.
Was she upset often?
Yes.
Would she get these kind of physical reactions often, that her stomach would hurt or that she would ask you to get her medicine?
I got to know her better in the spring, so I saw more of it than I would have in the fall. That was the only time I can recall. That was not an average thing. I think that's why I remember it, because it was unusual.
And you said that you drove about 35 minutes to get her medicine?
Yeah, it could have been 25, 35 minutes, but it's where she lived was not convenient to run to the store. So it was a discussion like, do we want to do that? And it's all the way down there. And she was so nervous. I thought, no, I'm going. So
did she go with you?
No, she did not. She had the kids that night, so she stayed with the children.
Did she make any kind of doctor's appointments shortly thereafter, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Now, you indicated that you guys became boyfriend and girlfriend at the beginning portion of 2014. Is that a correct statement, sir?
Yes, sir.
And When would you tell the members of this jury that your relationship with her ended?
Well, that's a little complicated. July 14th, we went on a date. And when I got home, she had sent me an email saying, I need a week to think. Please don't contact me for the next week. So that was the Monday before Professor Markell was killed. And then we didn't talk for maybe 10 or 12 days after the murder. So I assumed it was internally, I assumed it was over, you know, that night when you get an email like that, you're probably figuring it's over. But in subsequent phone calls, she acted as if it was still a slightly open issue. And we closed that down by phone calls that, yeah, obviously we're going to move on here.
Did you ever question her loyalty to you in your relationship with her?
With regularity, yes.
And when you say with regularity, when did you first become suspicious? Now, let me ask this question first. You were concerned that she was seeing other men, right?
I was.
Okay. And when did you first start getting this concern?
Probably a March, April timeframe, I started to wonder. So not too long after we became a couple, I guess what I was wondering is, have we really become a couple, or is she still doing what she was doing before?
Did you find like text messages or direct messages on social media that made you kind of go, what's going on here?
No, I didn't see any text messages or anything on social media. Her behavior was just erratic. She would disappear. She would come very late at night. So there were signs like that.
Would you talk to her about it?
I tried to.
Okay. So let me ask it this way. Did she understand that you were concerned about her being loyal to you, or your relationship being a monogamous one?
To be completely honest, I think we kind of pussyfooted around that until we had that big fight at the end of June. That's what that argument was about.
Let's talk about that big fight.
Sure.
Why don't you walk the members of the jury through what happened?
Yeah, I had taken Wendy to Gainesville with me. I was teaching in the off-campus program at UF for the weekend, so I took her with me.
I'm sorry, was it just you and her, and she bring the kids?
No, it's just me and her.
So like a romantic getaway to Gainesville?
Well, work slash pleasure. I teach during the day. She works in a coffee shop. We have dinner with friends at night, that kind of stuff. You know, okay. It's a nice area.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it was nice. And weekend started off fine. The Saturday night, we sort of got into it over this stuff. I confronted her about the fact that I suspected that she had been seeing other men.
Okay, so let's talk about it. So you're at dinner?
We were actually up in the hotel room. The night was basically over. It was pretty late. It was 9 or 10 o'clock at night when this discussion happened.
Okay. And had she had any alcoholic beverages at that point?
We both had, but I think just one or two glasses of wine a couple hours earlier.
Just socially with dinner, maybe?
Yeah, that was okay. There's no more drinking than that.
And was there, did you say, listen, I think this, that, or the other, did you have any specifics, or were you just giving a vague, I'm concerned about where this relationship is?
The latter. I was pretty specific. I told her I was very concerned. I was particularly concerned because the way she had framed our relationship was, you're not just becoming my boyfriend. I have children. I'm a mother. It's like I was auditioning for the job of husband and father is actually sort of how it felt in retrospect. So I bonded with the kids pretty tightly. And as you can imagine, in a relationship, that kind of discussion gets more complicated when you're serious and there's kids. And she had been talking about me moving in. She had told me not to buy a house. She had told me not to buy a Jeep, that I needed to buy a vehicle that two car seats could fit in. So
it sounds like you guys were heading down that path.
Yeah, hence why I raised the issue, because I had some intuitions. Everything wasn't quite right. Her behavior had been a little erratic, and I was worried about moving in and ending up in a really bad situation.
So would it be fair to say that she was saying the wrong things, but her actions were speaking louder than her words?
That's not a bad summary. I was getting two very different messages based on behavior or what she was speaking to me, what she was saying.
Did that argument or that discussion, did you feel it the next morning?
What do you mean by feel it, sir?
Was she acting any different the following morning?
Oh, the next day was probably the most awkward car ride I've ever had in my life. We rode from Gainesville up to Tallahassee. She was crying. I was very upset. It was a very awkward three-hour drive.
It's a three-hour drive?
Three or four, however long it is.
Okay, from Gainesville to Tallahassee, yeah. However long that was.
Exactly.
And this was in June. You said June 20th.
That would have been June 29th. That's the Sunday, the last Sunday. Yeah.
2 weeks later, on July 13th, Wendy tells you, or Wendy has this discussion with you that the prosecutor omitted, right?
Yes.
From June 29th. To July 13th, would you say your relationship with Wendy after that awkward, that long 2 or 3 hour, 4 hour, however long it is from Gainesville to Tallahassee, emotional car ride, right?
Yes.
She's crying, upset. Yes. And I would assume, well, let me strike this. Did you believe that she was upset? Because like I said, she was saying all the right things, but she wasn't acting like she was talking.
It's very complicated, and she was all over the place, to be frank, in that at one point she was confessing, at one point she was saying, I never did that. She was saying she couldn't remember some things I wanted to talk about, which was frustrating. So, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No worries. You said she was confessing. Was she admitting to potential talking to other men?
More than talking, the night before when we were having the argument, but it was...
What was she saying?
It was a heated discussion, so I don't remember every word of it. But at points, she kind of let it slip out that my concerns were well-founded.
Okay.
And then 5 minutes later, she would say the opposite. And when I've had to explain this story in the past, I've had to say it, it doesn't sound like it makes sense because she was just all over the place. She was hysterical.
Really. Okay. So would it be fair to say at some point she admits to talking to other dudes, apologize to talking to other men? And then shortly thereafter denies what she just confessed to.
wasn't that repeat as needed. On the car ride back, she was like, I never did any of that stuff you taught. I don't know what you're talking about. Which was kind of crazy making for me because yeah. she confessed to some of it the night before.
Okay.
Let's pause.
So from June 29th till July 13th.
Wow.
This is a guy that has a psychology degree and he's confused as shit. That, I mean, that's how, you know, confusing these people can be. And he used the term crazy making, which is pretty common in that arena because it is, it's utterly insane. I mean, she confesses to as the prosecutor, or the, I think it was the prosecutor, I don't know what one, whoever was questioning there, might have them into the defense of Garcia, sleeping with other, being with other dudes or in whatever, something like that. So she admits to it and then walks it back because she realizes, oh, that might be a little damaging to me. That didn't quite get the reaction I wanted. So that's all a lie. It's all fake. It's just, if I say it enough, if I keep, this is how they operate. If I keep saying this enough, if I keep trying to convince it enough, I'll convince myself, but I'll convince you too. And then you won't question it. I mean, it is, it's crazy making. It's insane.
It's amazing with his degree that he didn't go running from this relationship. Right?
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Ooh.
But I do find, and I'm throwing a blanket statement out here, and if I'm offending somebody, I apologize in advance. But a lot of people that I know that are in the field of psychology go there to figure themselves out because they've dealt with some trauma. And I know of at least four people in my life who are psychologists who have had horrific trauma. So that's where I'm getting that from. I feel like maybe they're used to some trauma. They're used to it. Maybe it's harder for them to see it. I mean, they see it, but harder for them to remove themselves from it, if that makes sense.
It's the frog in the boiling water.
There it is. Stop again,
that.
Todd.
Stop that.
There it is.
There it is, Todd.
Or lobster in the... I mean, even if you do know what to look out for, it still can sneak up on you pretty easily. I mean, it really... And you don't see it until you're out of it half the time. After you've been boiled a few times, you start to go, you know what? I'd like to keep the few layers of skin I still have left. And I'm going to be a little more vigilant on this. And I think some of the, maybe the younger impulse, the impulse control that one may have at a younger age, you know, like Jeff here, you know, in his, you know, 30s at the time, when I'm assuming, you know, when a lot of this stuff is going down. You know, yeah, you have less, you're basing your priorities in the wrong areas, I guess I would say. And if he doesn't have any kids, he has less areas to which he has to be concerned, in terms of what he's walking himself into, if it's just him. So again, in his own words, the way he kind of put it, or not in his own words, but paraphrasing what he says, it was the boobs.
It's always the boobs. I'm telling you, it's always the boobs.
Or whatever it was that was, and I'm being sillily crass. I don't know if sillily is a word. But whatever it is, it was his attraction to her. It was physically her that was overriding all of the sensibility here. Of obviously he saw the red flags and he was calling them out and he was, you know, but he was sticking around. There was a lot of things where he should have said, but again, shoulda, coulda, woulda, I'm out at earlier points. But again, you don't know the depth as to where this is going.
Yeah.
There's plenty of crazy people out there. There's plenty of dysfunctional people out there in relationships that are very emotional, that have a crazy family that they deal with, that are enmeshed to them, that are this or that. And the more you live, the more you're like, I don't really want to be a part of a world like that. Once you've seen it a few times, but if you've never experienced it and you don't know any better, you just think, well, you know, we have this amazing ability to look for the best in people, which is a good thing sometimes. But sometimes we also don't have the ability to call a spade when it is, and to say, this person is too broken for me. And until they get their shit together and they are able to heal themselves, they're not going to be good for anybody else.
Correct.
And that can be looked at in any relationship, whether somebody's murdered or not. But that's where we have to have the confidence in our own selves and say, okay, I'd love to be in a relationship with this person. This person does offer a lot of good things and has a lot of great qualities, but they are so broken. And it may not be from any fault of their own, but they haven't healed. They haven't dealt with their shit that they've been damaged by. And until they do that, they're not going to be good for anybody else. And I think he was starting to realize that about Wendy in this relationship, and clearly was kind of on this path of, well, she's really hot though, but she has all these things. And I think he's realizing it, but maybe should have pulled the trigger a little bit sooner to get out of it. I'm going to assume maybe he does that a little bit faster now that he's had a few reps in this.
We actually had a great comment. Maybe he was intrigued by her psychological problems too.
Could be too. Could be a fixer.
Don't be a fixer. Do not fix things.
No, you can't.
You can't. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's lesson number one. But again, younger, less reps, less experience in life, you may think you can. You may have even had some light success over here in life, and you think, oh, I'm great at this. I can really. People need to be able to fix themselves, and they have to do that.
Because it's okay to walk beside somebody as they do it.
Yes.
But they need to be doing it themselves.
They have to do the work. You're not going to do it for them. You're not going to fill in the blanks and mad lib it and fix it for them. And clearly, if the damaged person just keeps going back to the abuser, in this case, it would be the Adelson family and Wendy continually going back to these people that are controlling her and basically doing whatever the hell they want, and she's at the whim of them. That's, I mean, who knows what she knew or did not know, but let's just assume we don't know what she knew. She made the choice. It's all about choices. And she made her choice. And now she's being judged for it, because here we are going and looking at every little piece of information going, what did she know? Did she know too much? I don't know that we're getting any closer to finding the answer to that, but we're certainly learning more and more about her personality, the way that she handled this relationship. And that speaks volumes when you try to figure out how someone may or may not have acted. But again, she's innocent. She's never been charged with anything, and she maintains her innocence. Let's keep watching.
Would you say the you were fixing the relationship at that point? Was it getting better or was it getting worse?
It's hard to tell, because on the 29th, I left her house. I didn't see her again until July 13th. She went to South Florida for those 2 weeks.
Did you guys talk on the phone?
We talked on the phone once in a while. We did some video chats. I talked to the kids to be a video chat and things like that. But it was very up in the air where the relationship was going to go. I would get a mixture of messages, verbally and by text.
Would you agree with me that your level of contact with her between June 29th and July 14th was less than it was before?
Oh, it was minimal. It was minimal. Days and days would go by at points without us talking on the phone, at least. I may get the random text or something, but we weren't talking a lot.
And then on July 13th, Wendy, in essence, tells you that her brother, Charlie, had looked into hiring a hitman to kill Dan Marcon.
In 2013, yes, sir.
In 2013?
Yes.
What was your reaction to this?
It was in the context of a relationship discussion. It kind of just worded out. Wendy has a habit of blurting things out that are kind of tangential or whatever. And so I didn't know what to make of it. My stomach kind of flipped. It was like a chilling statement. And then we kind of ended up talking about the relationship again. And I just would give it a lot of thought at the time. It was just a crazy thing that someone would say, you know?
Okay. Very crazy thing. Yeah. But let me ask you this. Did you take that statement as a threat to you? Let me kind of clarify this. She indicated that because of her bad relationship with Mr. Markell, correct? And you'll agree with me that they had a bad relationship, correct?
That's how she characterized it.
You'll agree with me that she said, based on a bad relationship, that her brother had looked into hiring somebody to kill him, correct?
Well, that was specifically about the relocation, is what she said in that state. I know they had bad blood otherwise for other reasons, certainly, but that was specifically tied to the relocation battle being lost. That was what prompted Charlie to look into it, according to her statement.
This conversation that you had on July 13th, where was it?
It was in her house on Aqua Ridge.
Was anybody else around when she made the statement?
No, sir.
Did you contact any of your friends after this conversation and discuss the fact that Wendy Adelson had indicated that her brother had looked to hire a hitman?
In what time frame?
Okay, so on July 13th, when the conversation's over, do you stay there that night?
No. We ended with me telling Wendy, if you this isn't going to work for you, you can text me. We can just break up. I don't want a big thing. You don't want confrontation. And I left for the night and did not stay.
Do you have like a family member or a best friend that you talk to about personal issues?
I have several, sure.
Okay. Did you call or contact any of them on the way back to discuss what had transpired about? And I'm not talking about the breakup.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. I am talking about the break.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you call your friends and go, hey, listen, you know, it ended with me and Wendy?
You know, it's summertime, and in FSU, a lot of these people were out of town. Some of them were even overseas, so there was less contact than there ordinarily would have been. But I'm sure I discussed the fact, well, not that night because it was so late. What I remember is the next day when I get this email saying, don't contact me for a week, I certainly shared that with friends because I found it really frustrating and surprising and thought it was weird.
Did you share with any of your friends the comment that Wendy Adelson made to you with regards to her brother and the murder fry?
I'm sure I did. I just couldn't tell you who or when I did that. But certainly, after the murder occurred, certainly, I shared that with people. I also shared it with the police the first day they brought me in.
Right. So you were interviewed by law enforcement in this case, correct?
Yes, sir.
During your interview with law enforcement, did you mention this statement? Okay. Did you tell Detective Eisen that interviewed you?
It was him and Investigator Hale.
Okay. Did you indicate to them who you had shared this information with?
I don't know that I was asked to.
Oh, Judge, it's not from
the room.
Can you restate the question?
No worries. Yeah. So when you tell them what Wendy told you about her brother's murder for hire plot, did you say, yeah, listen, you know, I spoke to my buddy, because the murder happened on the 18th, correct?
That's correct.
And so 4 days prior to that is when you got that breakup. Was it an email or a text message?
It was an email.
Okay, so you get a breakup email. And so you call your friends, which is normal, right? And you indicated just a few minutes ago that you probably mentioned the murder for hire to some of your friends, right?
At some point, I just don't know when.
Okay. What about, was this before or after your interview with law enforcement?
Was what before or after?
Your discussions with friends.
Well, after I had told it to the police, I certainly discussed it. I'm confident. I may have done it before as well. I don't recall that. But after I told the police that, I did share that with some people confidentially, yes.
Now, she told you, and by she, I'm referring to Wendy Adelson, during your July 13th conversation, that he had looked and the price was either 15 or 50,000, correct?
That's correct.
So it's either one or the other, correct?
Right.
And would it be fair to say, based on your testimony, that she said that that price was too high?
No, she didn't offer any further context or explanation. It was kind of a thing that was blurted out. And then literally 20 seconds later, she started talking about something else, and I can't recall what that was. I think it was the relationship stuff that I was very focused on.
So out of nowhere, she tells you, Charlie was going to go look to hire a hitman. It was going to cost $15,000 or $50,000. And you don't go back to that.
I don't know that it was out of nowhere. I believe preceding that was a discussion that if anything ever happened to Danny, she would move to Miami. I think I've spoken to the investigator Eisen about that previously.
And listen, I have to ask Mr. Lacoste, at no point did you contact law enforcement after you heard of this threat so they could contact Mr. Markell to see if there's any need to protect him in any way, shape, or form.
I didn't.
Give me 1 second, Your Honor.
Good night.
Just a few more questions, sir.
Sure.
Would I be correct or incorrect in assuming or in saying that you were interested in having a monogamous relationship with Wendy Davis?
I thought I had a monogamous relationship with
Wendy. And you wanted to keep it, correct?
Depends when you're asking.
On July 13th, 2014?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I'm sorry to ask such personal questions. I know. Did you think it's unusual? Let me ask this. At some point, did you ever see a picture of Dan Markell?
Sure.
Do you think that there's a resemblance between yourself and him?
Everybody always says that. When I was dating her, no one ever brought it up. I see it from the pictures. In real life, I was never told that while we were dating.
And as you indicated before, you're also a professor?
That's correct.
Do you feel wronged by Wendy Adelson?
Do I feel wronged?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, yes, sir.
Let's pause it there.
Well, good morning.
Yeah. That's big.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I always kind of thought, hey, they have a very similar look.
I never noticed that. It's true. There's a lot of that going on in this family. Look at Tom Petty. She looks like Donna. So here's Wendy dating another lookalike to her ex-husband.
They're all about the comfort zone. What's comfortable to them?
They are. They're very much about that. And I don't think they realize it. It's a tell. I don't know what it tells other than it's like a very simplistic way of thinking. But I wonder how many other people in this family have similar type trends. Certainly not Charlie. I mean, the women that he dated looked nothing like
Donna or
her sister.
But they all did look alike.
They all did look alike.
So, but here's the thing. What does that question have to do with anything? So it's obvious that she liked a certain look. Mm-hmm. And I think we could probably all fall into that category to a certain extent.
We have types. Yeah.
We have types. What does that have to do with this?
I don't know yet. I think they're still putting that together here in what they're gotcha. Setting up and what they're teeing up on this. And I'm curious to figure out where that goes.
Jennifer has a great comment. I bet Donna hated Jeff then because she hated Danny. That's an interesting take too, I think.
I bet Donna hated anyone that took time away from her and Wendy. Meaning any attention that Wendy was giving to anyone other than her. I bet she did not like. And I bet that would come down to family members. I wonder if it even came down to the damn grandkids. I don't know. I mean, I know
oh
there was
my
like,
God. Yes.
I know it was the battle for the grandkids, you know, on paper, but was it, or was it more so to get Wendy closer? And so she could continue to have her little mother daughter tea parties, you know, in her mind and control her child.
Can you imagine having Grandma Donna? And maybe one day you're not thankful enough that she made a batch of cookies for you. Can you imagine what that would be like?
Yes, I lived it.
Exactly. So tell me about it, Stacey.
My grandmother on my dad's side was extremely domineering and everybody pretty much had to bow to her. Mm-hmm. Like she was the matriarch of the family and you did what grandma said, period. Mm-hmm. If you didn't do that, it was like she would spend an entire week aiming at you. Comments, activities. Maybe you didn't get dinner one night. I mean, it was tremendous abuse. But that's how this person operates. As long as you're staying in line, keeping all your ducks in a row, you're fine. The minute you step out, it's going to be hell. Mm-hmm. It is going to be absolute fucking hell for you. Almost like Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
That story.
It's funny how many, how often and how common it is that we live lives like this, mm-hmm. not necessarily going to murder, but like that, like you talked about, Stacey, where it's just, well, this is how the family is and these are the dynamics and you grow up into it and you learn, oh, this is how they act. And this is what you do. And
it's just, it's so normalized. The unhealthy is so normalized. Maybe that's what
you made a comment like a week or two ago, and I'm not sure that we dove into it much, Stacey, but you said she's like Marie Barone from Everybody Loves Raymond. I'm a fan of that show.
Yeah.
And, but you're that's exactly the kind of family we're talking about here, where Marie ruled, you know, over everybody. And I mean, I'm guessing Harvey's a little bit like Marie's husband.
Yeah.
Where he just kind of gets by with it. Let's Marie do whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's easier. It's easier to sit back and let her do the things, because then you're not going to be a target. You're not going to be one of her victims. If you just let her go do her thing, you'll be fine.
And we rationalize it by telling ourselves things exactly like that, Todd, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, she's like Marie Barone. Oh, that's a funny show. You know, and you, it's like, oh, this seems normal. This seems okay. Where on a comedy show where these people aren't real, sure. But in real life, it's a toxic as shit human being. I mean, yeah. I mean, do you think that, I mean, if you really had that Marie Barone character in real life as your mother-in-law, I don't know, it would be as slapstick, you know,
of course,
must see TV, hilariously funny every day of life. I think you would, it'd be really funny to see, funny in a dark way, to see like the real version of Everyone Loves Raymond. And where Raymond ends up, you know, going out on a bender, and they find him falling off, like off of a bridge one night because Marie has gone to his, you know, such extremes manipulating the family that he can't take it anymore. That's how that real version would end.
But that show was created off of a real life story, not sure. To the extreme. Obviously, yeah. They wrote around it, but there were people who actually inspired that. So it just makes me wonder, you know, how many people really do deal with families with that dynamic, not to the extreme of the Adelsons, but I think there's a lot of that in, at least, I don't know, I want to say in America. I know we have viewers and listeners from other countries, but I think it's pretty prevalent that there's this one person in the family that just makes everybody's lives a living fucking hell.
And it, not enough are realizing, I don't have to live like this.
Correct.
It's a choice, but I'd say 80-90% of us for a good chunk of our lives do, and just endure it.
We don't figure out that we can make that choice, that we do have the power. We just feel so immersed in it that we can't get out until one day you wake up and go, I don't have to do this shit anymore.
Well, I'll say this too. So I've noticed this in conversation with people that are like that. If you ever do get into, let me take a sip of water here. Whenever you do get into like in-depth, kind of like peeling back the layers of the onion of the relationship, when you do make comparisons to the outside world and other people and an unhealthy behavior that's going on here, the common response that you'll get 99.9% of the time is, oh, it's like that everywhere. Everybody's like this because they have to normalize their behavior by saying, well, everybody else, whether there's any validity to that or not, which it's usually not. But that's how people end up staying trapped half the time, is we just keep telling ourselves, well, yeah, that's bad, but at least it's not the Adelsons. At least it's not that. It's like, it's bad. And bad is bad. Bad doesn't need to always involve murder before one says, had enough.
Yeah.
Time to go live a healthy life.
We just got a comment. They're not seeing how involved Wendy was in this. Wendy is not a victim. I think that people have to be understanding that when we talk about Wendy as a quote unquote victim, it's mm-hmm. because of the way the family was and the way Donna was and all that kind of stuff. That, as Tony just said, that doesn't mean you go out and have somebody murdered.
No. I mean, Wendy is a victim in the same way that it's different. I was going to say like abused animal, and then the animal goes and bites people. Wendy, you know, she was brought up in that world. So she did have agency. I'm not going to pretend that Wendy didn't grow up and didn't have the ability to be retrospective and introspective and choose the path that she wanted to choose. She did. She just chose the path of least resistance. The one that was easy to go along, the one that she's already known. Most people do that. That's not abnormal. It's very abnormal if you break away from that. Mm-hmm. It's probably healthier but not normal or common. So she was, I mean, she was really just going along with the family. The family went to an extreme. Did she, should she be held accountable if she knew that her, the father of her children's life was in danger? Yes. Yes, she should. Does it mean that she should be held accountable to the same level of planning the murder? No, that's a very different thing. But you don't get away scot-free because you chose not to make adult choices.
Right.
And adult choices sometimes mean standing up to those around you who are making very piss-poor choices, especially when it involves the life of someone around you. Sorry, there's consequences to that. And I'm sorry you were abused. And I'm sorry you thought this was the only way to do it. You should think better next time. And there's consequences to those actions. So do better. That's just kind of how I think, how I feel about her. I mean, I don't know. I mean, unless she had a lot more to do with this planning, which we don't know as of right now. If it sits where it sits, should there be consequences? Yes. Is it conspiracy to commit murder? No. But there's something. There is certainly something there.
Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of comments come through about Wendy and fraud to the court that Dan was going to expose, which would put her license in jeopardy.
There is some talk of that. And I don't know all the details, but I believe pieces of this do come out in some time. It's an area I need to dig into more. I don't know enough to speak about it. But it is an area that I have heard rumblings on, and I just don't know enough about it yet. But I know that that information came from, I think Joel over on Surviving the Survivor podcast had on the attorney, the divorce attorney. Because that's who I'm trying. I want to get on here to talk about it. He was on with somebody.
That attorney will not message me back. I spoke to an assistant at the law firm, secretary as well. Cannot get a call back.
Okay, he spoke to somebody, and that's where that information comes from. That's an interview I have not listened to in its entirety, and I need to do that because that's an interesting point of conversation that we should be having on this case. Let's keep watching. I know there's more here.
Questions I'm about to ask you are about the investigation into you, not that we believe you're a suspect, okay?
I understand.
You would agree with me at the beginning of the case in July 2014, there was a thought that you were a potential suspect.
That's what I've been told, yes.
You were contacted by the police.
I was.
You came in, you were interviewed.
So I came straight from my trip into the TPD.
Three separate times you were interviewed, right?
Yes.
Now, they didn't handcuff you at gunpoint and drag you into the station, right?
No, they asked me to come in, so I came in.
Voluntarily went in? You told them what you knew? You explained the information, right? Eventually, you helped them get bank records to show where you were. It was in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I believe it was cell phone records and a receipt from a Kmart. We had surveillance video of me, was my understanding of it.
So they get your bank records. They see a transaction at a Walmart, right?
Yeah, credit card records.
There's then a receipt. And then they go actually to the Walmart, get their surveillance footage that shows you there.
It was a Kmart, but yes, sir.
And then you were cleared.
That's correct.
You would agree with me that they objectively investigated you.
Yes.
Now, had they not gotten the bank records, the Walmart video, or anything like that, one could paint a picture that you were involved. Just the fact that you left town right when the murder happened and you had this connection.
Well, except that I wasn't in the state at the time of the murder, so how could I have done it? So that's...
What we're talking about here is that somebody could paint the picture without all the evidence.
Yeah, if they don't have all the evidence, sure.
All right. Let's go to something you said on direct talking about June 4th. And you had appeared to have a very good memory of all the instances. You said that Wendy had the kids on June 4th, the night of June 4th. You spent a lot of time with Wendy, spent a lot of time with the kids. You knew their daily schedule, the boys, right?
I knew not so much because I usually got there in the evening. So at the time, I would know what day she had the kids. But as far as pickup times and things like that, I usually saw them at the end of the day. I accompanied her just a couple of times to pick up the kids. So I don't want to sound like I'm an expert on that because I'm not.
So June 4th, she has the kids. the next morning, June 5th, she would have taken them to Creative Preschool.
She would have, but I never stayed over there. So when the kids were there, so I wouldn't have known that because I left at the end of the night if the kids were there every time.
That would have been consistent with the custody setup that she had with Dan Markell, correct?
Yeah, depending on what the days on the schedule were, which I don't recall. I used to know that. I don't anymore.
It wouldn't have been that he'd come and pick them up at her house and then bring them over to Creative Preschool.
I never saw that kind of scheduling anyway.
So it would have been consistent with on June 5th, she would have dropped the kids off.
It would have been consistent, but I don't have any primary knowledge of what she did on June 5th.
Let's talk about Charles Adelson. Understanding that you didn't have a close relationship with him, you did meet him and you hung out with him.
Yeah, for a few hours.
To you, and I'm going to use your words, he seemed like somebody that hung out on both sides of the tracks, right?
That's the way he presented himself in that hot tub. Yes.
And you took that to be accurate?
Yes, I took his whole presentation to be accurate. That's correct.
During the day, he's wearing a lab coat or scrubs or whatever dentists wear, right?
Right.
And then when he's off work, he's going out, he's hanging out at the gym with less savory people.
Yeah, that was sort of his characterization. I was sort of repeating what he said. Yeah.
In your words, less savory individuals.
Less savory, gritty. I don't remember his exact words, but gritty, something like that. I don't remember his exact words, but that's how he presented himself in that hot tub. It seemed to be almost a braggadocio kind of thing, like, look at me, I'm on both sides.
And you took him to be a street smart guy.
I did.
He had friends that were ex-special ops.
Yes, that's what he said. Yeah, that's what him and Wendy said.
His gym friends that, to you, almost came off as nefarious?
Well, yeah, and I don't remember the details at this point, but he was talking about deals they were doing. There was a lot of hinting and innuendo. But yeah, you're accurately presenting how he presented to me.
Let's go now to the dinner on March 11, 2014.
Sure.
It was outside. It was on Miami Beach.
Yeah.
If you remember, and you may not, do you remember seeing a pickup truck with two gentlemen outside of the restaurant watching you guys? Let's go now to July 14th, 2014.
Okay.
Now, you had met Catherine Magbanua several months prior to that.
Yeah, I met her in March.
So March, April, May, June, July. Wendy is opening up to you and saying what her brother had looked into doing, right?
I think you're talking about the 14th. You're talking about the 13th, I think.
July 13th?
Okay. Go ahead.
So July 13th, 2014, she's talking about her brother hiring a hitman. She's giving you incriminating details, right?
Yes.
Never said anything about the involvement of Catherine Magbanua, right?
No, it was three sentences, so no, she didn't.
All right, let's talk about now the options that he looked into doing to take care of the problem, right?
Right.
On direct examination, the state attorney's office asked you what year it was. There was more specifics to that. It was specifically the summer of 2013, right?
Yeah, so it was attached to the relocation. So whenever it was after relocation had failed, where she'd been denied the motion for relocate.
But I want to make sure it's clear because we didn't have the full information from direct examination. What Wendy told you is that her brother looked into hiring a hitman in the summer of 2013.
That's correct.
And that would have been before he even knew Catherine Magbanua.
Yeah, I don't know when they met, but if you say so.
One brief moment, Your Honor. Further questions, Your Honor. Thank you for raising both thumbs.
Yes, Your Honor. The breakup email on July 14th, 2014, I know you had some phone contact after that, but was that basically the end of your relationship?
It was the last time I ever saw her.
Okay.
We did have some, it was in August. It was after, we didn't talk between then and after the murder.
Okay, so and you never got back together and resumed your relationship?
No.
No further questions.
Do you have a question of this witness? Write your question down. We'll go sidebar. Series of questions from the jury. The email, the July 14, 2014 email, was that an FSU website or a private website? Do you have any recollection?
I think that was from Wendy's Gmail account.
Okay, what about to you?
That would have been to my Gmail as well.
So the answer is no, it was not on an FSU website?
Correct. Okay. To best of my recollection.
Okay. Did Ms. Adelson indicate that she wanted to relocate to have the children full time?
She talked about, she didn't talk directly about relocating because she knew that was no longer a possibility. But the other side of that coin, how unhappy she was in Tallahassee and how frustrated she was by the child custody were issues that came up, if not every day, every week, that came up very frequently.
Okay. So that was actually the next question about, she frequently spoke about the divorce and the custody battle.
Yes, yes, consistently throughout the entire relationship.
And did she appear distressed when she didn't have the children with her?
Sometimes, yes, yes.
Oh, what kind of vehicle were you driving back in July 2014?
I was driving a 2004 four-door silver Nissan Sentra.
Ms. Kaplan?
No further questions.
Garcia?
Nothing, nothing.
All right. Dean Stefan, do we need to keep this witness safe further?
There you go.
Wow.
If you want to watch the just full testimony, we got it up on the YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. I grabbed it and pulled all of the, as we watched today, that is the actual video. You can just watch it raw. It's up there. All the gaps taken out so you can just kind of get through it. Paint the picture. Paint the picture of Jeff Lacoste possibly being the murderer. Had he not decided to change his travel plans to leave the night before, he would have been right there around that time. I think he's the one who screwed up their plan. I think
right.
Donna and Charlie, I don't know, maybe Wendy, considering she got the information from him, they were betting on him being in that general vicinity at the time of the murder. And I think it such a stupid way of thinking, but a way of thinking nonetheless that, oh, well, we'll just pin it on him and and it will work. It will just work. No further questions, Your Honor. He was near there. Of course it was him, even though he has no motive or history or reason to want to go and kill your ex-husband. But in the mind of Donna Adelson, oh, that totally works. Great idea. Hang on, honey. I want to keep talking, but I got to go get the 50s out of the dryer. You know, it's...
I don't think she actually put him in the dryer. Wasn't that part of the problem?
It was wet. Yeah.
They were wet.
They were wet. Put on the clothesline, you know, go dry him out maybe that way. But no, just jammed them all into a bag. Yeah, I think Jeff, he's, I think, one of the strongest witnesses there are that is going to be damning for Wendy. I think he's one of the strongest witnesses that have been in all of these trials against Charlie, against Donna, against the Garcias, all of it. I think he comes across extremely credible. He has no reason to lie. And it's just, yeah, he just paints it.
Is that even more damning for Wendy when you think about it? Because she's asking him, where are you going to be? Where are you going to go? Are you going to blah, blah, blah? I mean,
it seems obvious.
Even if mommy says to you, hey, can you just ask Jeff this stuff? Don't you start going,
Not if you're Wendy.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that question, but could it be exactly that? Yeah. I could totally see if Jeff's up to that. I just need to know. Okay, mother. You know, wow. I mean, just judging by Wendy on the stand, I mean, this is just my conjecture, but it's, you know, is she controlling? It took her like 5 seconds to figure out, yeah, she can be kind of controlling. She had to sit there and think about it for a second. So I don't know if she didn't sit there and think about it for a second and just mom wanted the information and what mom wants, mom gets. It could have been as simple as that. I mean, I know it seems so simple and it really walks her away from guilt in terms of planning any of this, but I think a lot of it is that. A lot of it is she was a person of convenience to get information for the people who thought they had all the answers. And they didn't. And Wendy was another pawn in that game. A pawn who had eyes and ears and a voice and could have said, you know what? I'm not playing this game anymore. But she chose to stay in costume the whole time. That's how I take it.
She was playing the game.
Yeah.
She was playing it hardcore.
It's a good question. Did anybody ask Rivera if they were asked by someone to hire that certain type of car? I don't remember if that ever came out.
I think that did come up because there was a lot of similarities to Jeff in terms of where they were right after and all of that. So I do think there was planning that went on that they were trying to tie to Jeff Lacoste, but it was done in such a shitty way. It was like just not very well thought out, very surface, very amateur hour. But again, she watched money. So it just kind of tells you the depth of the thinking that they were going through in this plan. It is amazing they got away with it for as long as they did. And I don't know if that's speaking to the genius of the Adelsons or the inept of the law enforcement that were investigating them, that it took that long. I really don't know the answer to that. But it does feel like they laid all their cards on the table and it wasn't hard to put them all together.
Ugh.
Julia says, you guys are way too easy on Wendy. She's as guilty as the rest of them.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. And that's a fair point. I also feel like we need to figure out, play both sides here until we see where things are going to go, because anything is possible with this crazy family. Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy to jump on the bend. Like, Wendy did it. Wendy's part of this. But like, that's the easy route. And like every podcast does it. I'm not saying she isn't. There's a high likelihood that she is probably far more involved than I think she is. But I think that you got to tread with caution on this and just see where it all goes and look at all the little nuances, because you may find a very interesting person over here in Wendy. I'm not trying to stand up for it, because I'm not, but I think you're going to have a very different character in Wendy than you have in Donna or Charlie. And it may not be what I'm thinking it is. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm totally fine with that. But I do wonder how much she actually did know. And how much, as we've said, did she just continue to play along and stay in costume? Because that's what she knew. And it would have been more difficult to, you know, go to a different game and change your costume. Or maybe figure out what your costume actually is. Maybe figure out who you actually are and not just the daughter of Donna.
I think she always, this is just a personal thought.
Yeah.
I think she liked the easy way out of everything. It was just easier to let things happen. It was just easier to let mom be mom. It was just easier to blah, blah, blah. And anything that may have challenged her, I think she had an issue with. She couldn't deal with that.
Yep. I completely agree. That's why it was, well, mom wants us to move here. And it's easier to move than deal with mom.
Yeah.
And deal with the wrath of that. And every day go, I don't get to see the grandkids. No. Well, then fucking move. Grandma,
how many on this stream and also in our comments still get some enjoyment of when the judge says that Donna Adelson was guilty? How many people still kind of watch that and go, yes,
I love that moment.
When I know you do, you laughed so hard when that happened. Yeah. And I'm sitting here going, oh, poor Donna.
When I need a pick me up, I turn that on.
oh, because she does that. Oh, damn it. I lost.
It was a loud reaction, but it didn't seem to coincide necessarily with guilt of murdering someone. I think it felt more like, you know, I got caught on this. But there's
is that Donna calling you?
I think it's my carpet cleaning people, actually. Getting the carpets cleaned today.
Because you were so excited, you spilled wine everywhere.
I spilled wine and then I stopped using the toilets. I just started going on the carpets with the dogs.
Todd,
we're going to name this episode the Red Bull fueled rants of Tony Brusky.
Got to get him cleaned.
What happens in your life? You know, we only see this.
We don't want to know.
We see just a glimpse.
Stacy, back away slowly. Just back away slowly.
Right.
I usually walk to the other room and I play the coin pusher for a little bit. And then I do some skee ball. And then I go upstairs. I let the pets out. And I pee on the carpets with them because it's a community thing. We're like, hey, you know. And then we walk around. We eat some food out of the bowl. I got to say, I really am enjoying the Purina. The Pro Plan stuff.
Purina Pro Plan is a really good food. I was just talking with somebody about
it's
that.
It's delicious. Oh my God. I like putting sriracha on mine and it's good stuff. Then we go out, we have a picnic as well and we meditate. We do animal yoga in the backyard.
I'm a fan of that.
And the dogs stand on my back as I do downward dog, and the dog stands on me, and it's really quite. My carpet folks are 30 minutes away.
Well, there you go.
I better go make another spot over here while I can.
Oh my God,
this is gonna get cleaned up. I do.
What in the hell is happening to the show?
This morning.
Are we all drunk and high? What is happening?
Not me. Not me.
I'm not either,
surprisingly.
I had a protein shake. That's what I've had today. That's it.
Maybe that's what I need. Maybe I need a protein.
This wrong.
Belle, she's right there.
This, you guys.
Yeah. But I do have a pup. My dog, Belle, who's a puppy. You want to come here?
Has her hair grown back yet? She looked like a freaking rat. He had her shaved like, what was it, 2 months ago, maybe? I
think it was just did he do it for the summer? Is that what he did it for?
No, it's because she had too many knots. So here's Belle.
Oh, it's coming back.
Yeah, she's looking really good right now.
He looked like a different dog, though. I accused him of, that's not your dog.
Yeah. This is Belle.
Hi, Belle.
She's a mini golden doodle. And she still has some potty training problems. Like we're still working on it. Exactly. And rather than make her feel like she's alone in this, I'm playing the role of Donna Adelson and telling her it's all okay. I'll pee on the carpet with you. Right.
Hey, once you get into your 50s, good hard sneeze and we're all peeing on the carpet. This is,
exactly. It's my little Wendy right here.
Todd, write that one down. There's another tidbit that you never thought you'd hear.
I got to get more note cards because they're filled.
I'll send you some. Here you go.
Good girl. Good girl. Okay, I'm going to put you down. All right.
Oh, we have devolved here.
There you go. All right. Well, let me know in the comments what your thoughts are. on.
Yes, Tony does have a soft side. Very soft side.
Yes, I do. I do. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube, if that's where you're watching us. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading the podcast, wherever that may be. We do greatly appreciate that and would love to hear your thoughts on this case, because there's a lot more to come. We got more testimony from Jeff we're going to go through this week in the Charlie Adelson case. And I'm going to dig into that interview that was done with the divorce attorney, because that is another whole area that we should talk about in greater detail. I when I heard that the other day, I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. So that's all coming up this week. And if you guys have thoughts and angles, you know, let us know in the comments, because there's a lot to dig into on this case as it continues to get stranger and stranger. Until next time, for Todd and Stacy and Belle, my little Wendy down there, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.